Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of the Brilliantly Dumb Show is brought to you by our friends over at Alienware. So I've got a question for all the gamers out there. Are you seriously going to miss out on Alienware's biggest gaming sale of the year? I mean, these are Black Friday prices we're talking about, so it's not just another sale. I took a look, and this is some pretty big bang for your buck. You know, it's Alienware with some of the most advanced engineering out there, with systems at the top of reviewers' lists. And what about a gift for yourself? Gift yourself a new Alienware 16 Aurora gaming laptop. I mean, this thing's got performance at the absolute next level with Intel Core processors. And even better, you could get it during Black Friday, starting at $899.99. That's right, $899.99. Plus, you could save on all kinds of displays and accessories like the Alienware 32 4K QD OLED gaming monitor for ultimate visual fidelity. These really are incredible deals on PCs with otherworldly performance. So I'd visit Alienware.com/deals soon and grab what you can before their biggest sale of the year goes dark.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back. This is another edition of the Brilliantly Dumb Show, coming to you early, coming to you often. Mikey V, with the Ravens beanie we're getting today. Are you that in on Baltimore right now, Michael?
I've never been more all in on a team that's not my team in my entire life.
In what I don't hate it, but in what regard?
I mean, if you've been following, you know that I'm a Ravens guy this year.
Many people know your Ravens take. Many people know what you have to say about Lamar Jackson. Why don't you tell them, Michael?
Well, we got Ravens plus 1,100 today to cash a future bet as the AFC champs. We got KC plus 330. So either way, we're going to be winners no matter what. But I want Baltimore. I'm sick and tired of Kansas City. I'm tired of Travis Kelce. I'm tired of Taylor Swift. I'm tired of all the theatrics. I want Lamar Jackson to have his moment. I want Lamar to be able to sit on the pantheon of these other quarterbacks talked about, like Burrow and like Mahomes and like Josh Allen. I feel like Lamar constantly gets disrespected. I'm ready for Lamar to take that next step. I think if the Ravens could win today, they'll win the whole thing. So today for me, the Ravens, I'm all in. I'm just tired of Kansas City, Bob. I'm tired of them.
First off, I want to touch on that.
No, you look great. You look like an Icelandic business entrepreneur who owns a Fortune 500 company.
That sweater looks like it is $1 billion. That is
what I'm saying.
No, that is one of the wealthiest sweaters. Oh my.
That's outrageous.
That sweater has its own 401k, Bob.
Price on that sweater, Joey D?
I don't remember. I think I got it on discount.
Oh, he got it on the discount.
I don't remember. Nordstrom Rack special.
Wow. Look.
Joe, it looks good on you, though. You look good.
From Sunday service.
You look better right now than you've looked in weeks. I'm going to say that. You look great.
So basically, you're giving me a compliment and trashing me at the same time.
No, I just think, Bob, he looks healthy. He looks vibrant. He looks like he's got a lot of color. He looks, you know, the beard.
That Jupiter sun.
The hair, it looks, the hair is not fair, really. We're not even going to get that. But the sweater, I mean, he does look like an Icelandic man of the North that just owns like a helicopter company or something like that. That's what he looks like.
Get out of here,
serious, Joe.
I do think once Joey D made that move to West Palm, I think he got a little bougie.
Get out of here, man.
Did you see that omelet he had yesterday?
It was a sensational omelet.
That brunch was a spread, dog.
Oh, that brunch was a spread.
That's a Daniel Balud restaurant. You know Chef Daniel Balud?
No, I can't say I do.
Say there is something about when you go to a French restaurant, Mikey, have you ever had a French-style omelet? It beats any omelet you've ever had in your life. It is like decadent. It's creamy. It's cooked to perfection. It's just spectacular.
Have you ever had an omelet baked in the oven when it comes out and it looks like a dome almost?
Yeah, I have.
Those are very good as well.
Those are good too.
Can you do me a favor? Come on over to the Royal Cafe in Jupiter, Florida. I don't know if my dad gave you that recommendation. Him and my dad may talk even more than me and Joe. Me and Joe talk a lot.
We're going to do dinner again soon, I think.
Crazy. There you go. It's there you crazy. Go.
He's acclimating very well down there, Joe.
By the way, my dad called me the other day. He listened to the podcast. He listened to every episode. He was upset. He's like, you know, you got to give me a chance to defend myself on some of these things. Remember when I talked about him at the – you were talking about the hot bar, Mikey, and I had brought up –
He takes the
egg yolk and he puts it in the salad and he pushes –
What was his defense?
The most absurd defense of all time. He said, first off, he goes – you got to stop slandering me without me being able to come defend myself. In reality, I don't take the egg yolk out. I pull the egg yolk back into it. I put the egg white into the salad. So he's like, I take the egg. I said that he takes the yolk.
So he discards it. You had it backwards. Yeah. He discards of the yolk.
But it's the same thing.
Well, no, that actually plays more to what I would think is the truth, because he wants to avoid the cholesterol. He's going for the protein. You know, he's in good shape. Guy's in good
it's
shape.
It's jackal season, man.
Yeah.
He's got to be watching what he eats. It's jackal season.
It's still ridiculous. I mean, he's still pulling the same move that if one of us saw that going down at the bar, and even if he saw that going down at the salad bar, he'd pull the same stunt.
I mean, I don't know. I will say in this country, you are innocent until proven guilty, Bob. So, you know, he should... In his case, he should be able to defend himself. That being said, devil's advocate, you do praise him a lot on the show. So it's a give and take, Bob. I'm being very objective right now. But yeah, your dad he's a good texter. By the way, Bob's dad is a much, much, much better texter than Bob. I wish you would have got that attribute from him. Mr. B's he's really good at it.
He's a good texter. He is a good texter.
Yes. Mike, you guys have had some exchanges.
Yeah.
He's got his gambling day today where he
gambling, pot pie, you know.
Yeah, he goes to the racetrack this morning. They go to the racetrack. They have a Chinese restaurant at the racetrack.
At the track? That sounds like heaven.
It's a place called Chinese. Now, my thing is that
you went there, Bob.
It's called the Jade Pony.
Some of the where Catching Kittle will be running at 10 o'clock.
Oh, good Lord.
But he goes to the racetrack. There's a Chinese restaurant in the racetrack. And I kept saying, how could a Chinese restaurant be good that's in a racetrack? Because the only business they get are the days where the ponies are racing. The place is unbelievable. It was really, really good. But then
they should just call it Lo Main.
That's good, too.
One of the sicker. But he does want your picks for today, Mike. But I do want to touch on the Chiefs thing you said. For some reason, I know I'll take shit for this. I wouldn't mind seeing the Ravens win. The Chiefs don't bother me. I think Patrick Mahomes is such a classy guy. I got no issue with Kelsey. And to be honest, I don't like Taylor Swift. But them cutting to her.
Whoa, Bob, you cannot say that.
You've bashed Taylor Swift. You've sold her on the show.
Yeah, you've gone in on Taylor Swift.
We're Swifties.
But all of a sudden, you're cancel conscious?
Swifties who come at you with a mighty sword, Bob. We got to be very careful.
This guy's
we don't want to exclude ourselves at all.
I'm going for if the Ravens win this game, I'm going for Taylor's neck.
Are you?
Jeez,
why? Man.
Yeah, because I got a nice little piece of content lined up, I think, if the Ravens win this game.
Is it a pinata farm?
No.
He's out on pinata farms. He hasn't done a pinata.
Yeah, I haven't done pinata. You know why? Copycat League. You got these pages popping up everywhere. Making pinata farms. I was doing that 2 years ago.
Brilliantly bum.
That's, by the way, that's Ticket.
No, it's not.
He told me it's him. Now, he could be lying, but he told me it's him.
No chance.
That's the Ticket. I'm telling you, Ticket told me that's his account.
No,
get out of here.
He told me that.
He's playing with you. Okay, no, if that's Ticket, Mikey, then we need to have a call.
All right.
Because he was acting like he was dying of laughter when those were all going out in Scottsdale.
But I mean, you've put out content of your own that you've died laughing about.
He just laughed at his own joke.
We call it the low main.
It was very witty.
It was clever. It was very clever. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that doesn't preclude Ticket from actually being the owner. I'm telling you, he told
but
me.
Why would he hide under the radar like that?
I don't know. Very Ticket-like of him.
Just so that we would share everything and he would go stonkies?
Ticket? I've said a lot that I've noticed with Ticket. Ticket moves in silence. He does a lot of things that, like, he moved out to the East Coast without anybody knowing. Like, he's a lot of very open about stuff, but there's a lot of stuff where he kind of moves in silence.
You know who I could see? I agree with you, Bobby. You know who I could see it being? Not Ticket, but the bigger Ticket. I could see I could see it being the bigger Ticket for sure.
You think so, though? I always think
that that's like, a play he would make.
I always think that there's a handicap, though, with older people using apps like that. I always think there's like, you know, something like where they're not quite adept to being able to operate apps like that when they're older. Like my dad could never, ever do that. My father could never do that. Ever.
Yeah. You know what?
Like my dad doesn't even know how to fucking use iTunes. Like there's
my
no
dad
way
does. My dad barely learned how to use an emoji.
That's
in a
what
text
I mean.
Message.
Do your parents have like, when you look at your parents' phone, do they have like the font on like supersize where like one sentence takes up the entire screen?
Yeah.
That's tough, man. Like there's no way an adult is making those type of things. If and I say adult, like I'm going to be fucking almost 40, but there's no way our parents are using that when they need a full screen to read one sentence. That's
You know what though, Mikey, like if you look at the bigger Ticket, like he created Wii characters on a Wii golf game for Bob Does Sports.
The bowling, Wii bowling, yeah, or Wii golf, yeah.
He created the jet emoji guy is one of the funniest. He's like miserable, like he just is like
he's got like eyebrows like this.
Oh, that's it's great,
fucking
that's great.
And he just added a mustache now.
You're right. I could see that the drilling. If you have a chance, check out Drillantly Bum. He cuts out all the faces. It's very funny. The problem is the longevity of that. It's hard to keep the longevity of that going without it wearing. You know,
Barry. That's why I mean, the Pinata Farms work very well, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's.
I know, but that was classic, Mikey. You had you and me doing the Sinatra and Dean Martin, the what was it, the song that we're running down the
Marshmallow World in the winter.
That was one of my favorite ones. That was a great one.
Yeah. But yeah, Mikey clearly. Big Ravens guy today. I don't mind. I really don't mind them cutting to Taylor Swift. I kind of like to see what's going on in the booth.
A lot's going on in that booth, bro.
There is. It's like, what else are they going to cut to? Just like
Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce's going shirtless. You got Pat Mahomes' dad in there. You got Brittany. You got Jackson Mahomes. They're doing. If I have to watch Jackson Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes and Taylor Swift do like an organized group handshake, bro, like. Come on, you're not. I gotta root against that, Bob. I'm sorry. I can't advocate for that.
Yeah, I almost think, and maybe I'm wrong. This is just what I'm guessing. I think if you met Taylor Swift in real life, I could see her being a bit of a diva and not the nicest person.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of the Brilliant Dumb Show is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com. Whether you are in a funk in your life, you need somebody to talk to, somebody to help you get back on track, BetterHelp.com is the place to go. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BDS today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/BDS for 10% off your first month. Go over to BetterHelp.com, get everything back on track, and do it the right way. Talk to somebody today. BetterHelp.com.
So they interviewed Mahomes' dad on The Fan this week, the station that always talks about Perez. They interviewed the father, Pat Mahomes Sr., and he said that she's like one of the most down to earth. Like now, but him saying that, it's like this guy's a former pro athlete. This guy's son is arguably going to go down as one of the greatest players in NFL history. So for him saying it, I don't know how much stock you could take in him saying that she's really down to earth and nice because, you know, it is him. It's not like he's just some Joe Blow nobody. He's Pat Mahomes' dad. He was a former pro athlete. Like, but he did say that she's very down to earth, and maybe that's true.
That's a good look.
Didn't he make a quote that he says he hopes she's not in the suite, or was that fake news?
That was fake news, I think, because he was on the radio just like singing her praises 2 days ago or 3 days ago.
I fall hook, line, and sinker for every single one of those fake reports.
And then they had another report.
The old Bleacher Report.
They had another report that said when Jason Kelce took his shirt off at the Bills game and was going nuts last week, they put out another fake report that they showed a guy in the suite that they thought was Mahomes' dad like looking like this and like embarrassed by it. That was not him. And he said it on the radio. He goes, that wasn't even me. He goes, it was another guy in the booth. They go, he goes, I got the wrong guy. I was in the suite next door to them. I wasn't even in that suite.
These TMZ people, they got nothing better to do with their lives, man. Those are some of the worst. The paparazzi, the TMZ, I could do without any of those people.
They really don't have a place in the world. You're only going to have to deal with more and more paparazzi. So you better, you know,
any press is good press,
Joe. Joe, any press is good press.
Paparazzi level, Michael. And I will be paparazzi level for a long time.
You keep wearing sweaters like that, you're going to be in the crossfire, the crosshairs of every major paparazzi outlet out there, Joseph. Because that sweater screams, I'm a yacht owner. That's what it screams to me. I own a yacht. It's a beautiful sweater.
Now look, I got a lot of respect for TMZ.
It looks very cozy. How cozy is that sweater?
Oh, it's extreme. It's like wrapping a lamb around your chest. And
you see what I'm saying?
Sounds terrible. It sounds awful.
You know how soft a lamb is, Bob?
No.
Have you ever wrapped yourself in a lamb before, Bob?
No, clearly not.
Lamb's wool is some of the most prestigious wool.
I'm not trying.
Look at this jacket by Bob. I saw this the other day. Look at this. This guy looks like
some guy on Twitter said that he
chic.
Some guy on Twitter said he looked like the Big Lebowski wearing this jacket. I disagree though. I don't get that vibe.
Lebowski. It's too old.
Oh, it's a great movie.
That thing looks like you live in Colorado.
I can see
Big. That's a nice jacket.
It's a nice jacket.
Yeah. It's pretty epic.
I don't want to steal your thunder, Joe, because your sweater.
I don't know if that's like Bob's, like that.
You know what it is? So it's like Bloomingdale's meets Brokeback Mountain.
That's tough. That's pretty tough.
See how he cracks up?
He cracks himself up. I've never seen somebody laugh the way.
Jake Gyllenhaal is asking for his set jacket back from the Brokeback Mountain.
I'm going to be honest, Bob. That doesn't seem like your style.
No. It actually looks very stylish.
It looks awesome. It looks like it's a top five most comfortable jacket worn.
But I think when you wear a jacket like that, Bob,
took me by surprise.
Bob, when you wear a jacket like that, you should not wear a hat. That is my suggestion.
Gotta wear a hat, Joe.
What do you mean you gotta wear a hat?
Come on, don't do this to me. I gotta wear a hat. There's a reason Mikey has a beanie.
When you wear a jacket like that, the hat. Oh, that looks great.
Well, I mean, not many people could pull bald off, but I think I did it.
You do good. Yeah.
Mikey, I've asked you this, but we've definitely touched on it, but I don't remember your answer. Is it as freeing as they say it is?
It is, but like you gotta just be careful because like you see this. This was a nick the other day. And I've only done that a couple times, but, you know, nicking your head when you shave. But, yeah, it is, bro. It is. There's
you
no
know who went bald? And I can't see him as a bald guy. Is Kevin James is now bald with a goatee. He has a Netflix special out, and
This Kevin James is just cashing in on that meme, man. He's just cashing in on that
you
meme.
Think so?
Yeah, that was that's a resurgence moment for him. Not that he wasn't great before, but now.
So looks good.
That doesn't even look like him, dog.
I think it looks pretty good.
I think it doesn't look like him. I know, but I just can't process it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just think if you have that much money, get the procedure.
I think you do what Mikey does. If you go bald and then full beard.
You have to have a beard. Let me tell you something. I feel bad.
Bald on bald is the worst look you could ever ask for.
Yeah.
Unless you're like John Sins.
Your Mikey happens to look like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, from the waist up, maybe. Anyway.
I don't know.
Like, if he made a podcast, was never the calling.
Yeah.
No, but. The balding with the beard is like, at least if you have the beard, people could be like, well, you know, maybe he's choosing this look. Like, maybe this is just, it's not that he has to be, he's choosing it. But if you have no facial hair, you can't grow facial hair. That's tough.
That's tough. And the only option you have from that is if you don't have the facial hair and you got to go bald, you got to get ripped. You got to go Joe Rogan. Well,
Michael is ripped.
You can't be fat. That's a problem. You can't be fat.
You can't be fat. You have to be ripped. You got to get some tattoos. You got to get ripped.
Oh, the tattoo play, it adds.
It adds to the look. The only option. Can I just say one more thing before we go into our buy or sell segment? And call me if I'm crazy for this, Maybe I'm wrong, because I really do. He seems like a great person. Not to keep going back to it, but in regards to that Jason Kelce thing you mentioned, Mikey,
sure.
Don't you think in a way that he kind of made it about him? Like, don't you think that it was
question.
Riddle? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I thought.
Good question.
It seems awesome. He really does. But when I saw that, you so clearly know you're going to steal the show. It almost feels like he's now retired, so now he has the podcast, which crushes.
It was a retirement party, Bob.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Joe? I think that that's kind of it. I think that this was a guy who, you know, the only two times I've ever seen him act like this was when he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he wore that, like, Wizards outfit to the Super
Bowl. Yeah, which he looked like the Wizard Oz.
Which was incredible. So funny. And then this, after he called it a career. So I would say that, you know, I think it's just a culmination of these emotions that this guy has that he really doesn't let out, because you never seen him act a fool like this except two times, after they won the Super Bowl and last week. And it was kind of like, it just seemed like a guy who's been so focused, laser focused on his profession and trying to win with that team.
And his image too, I'm
that
sure.
Was a that was a tough ending of the season for the Eagles too, man. I mean, They had 10 wins and then they just imploded. So it's probably just him blowing off such a ton of steam. I thought it was cool what he did with the kids, letting them say hi to Taylor Swift and stuff. It was just, I didn't see him doing that. He was an absolute maniac, but I don't think you'll see that kind of behavior from him again. Maybe you will. I don't know, but I think he was just blowing off steam, and I don't really have a problem with it.
There's got to be a thing too. And by the way, I happen to really like him. I mean, he seems awesome.
I like him too.
There's got to be this sense of relief when you're in the NFL and you're a lineman. He's played that many games in a row where, like, you made it out, like, you got all your money. Hopefully you don't have any sort of, you know, brain damage CTE. Or anything like that. Yeah, there's got to be this sort of relief that you made it out of the friggin' battlefield and now you get to run loose. But I don't know. I thought maybe it was a little much, but he's probably hammered.
I get the vibes that he's a good dude, though.
Like, I do, too.
He's like
I do, too.
You know, a very friendly, easygoing guy. You know, he's kind of like the – I mean, for so long, Kelce, his brother Travis, was like the wild one, and he was more like the reserved,
that's
like,
what, and that's
brother.
Pat like, Mahomes' yeah. dad on the radio said that. He goes, if you think what Jason Kelce did was wild at that Bills game, you should see when Travis goes out. That's exactly what he
we've
said.
We've seen him in Tahoe. The guy gets after it.
So yeah. There you go. So there you go. That's exactly
my first time ever meeting Travis. We were paired with him with Josh Allen and Mahomes. I was caddying for Josh, and Travis showed up to the courts. It was like an 8 o'clock tea time, Mikey. And his caddy, a good guy, a friend of his who grew up in Cleveland, he told me that he was out till almost 7 in the morning. He slept for like 45 minutes, came on the first hole, shotgunned a beer, and said, let's go.
These guys, though, like some of these guys, like those guys especially, like, they're so, I feel like when the season's going on, they're so shut off to everything. It's like once they're let out of the cage, they're just a regular alpha male guy, and they're just letting it rip. And there's nothing that could stop them. I mean, you know, and these guys are machines to begin with. I mean, physically, they're machines. So for him to do something like that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, you got a small window where you can really let it fly.
That's it. That's right.
It was smart for them to start the, with Kelce, to start the podcast when they did. There's rumors about Travis retiring possibly at the end of the year. I don't see that happening, but there's rumors.
I saw that also. If they win it all, he may. If they win the Super Bowl again, Joe, why wouldn't he? Like, what else?
Yeah, but I think if they don't win the Super Bowl, I can't imagine him. He's still got some stuff left in the tank.
Jet's so good with this stuff. He said it to me last month that he sees him retirement, and I jumped on him. I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Another Jet slow burn take.
So interesting. So, fellas, we are going to go into our buy or sell segment. But to come on in for the buy or sell segment, let's bring in the one, the only, the big fella, Nicky Diamond stands in.
Wow.
Nicholas.
Nice warm round of applause there. Mr. McGinnis, that is Nicky Diamonds. Keep that clap going, because we haven't seen him yet. Has he figured out the visual?
Oh,
has
no.
Has he figured out the visual? We're going to keep clapping. We don't see him yet. Just keep that clap going. We did not see Nicky Diamonds right now, so keep clapping. Boom! There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Nicky Diamonds has entered the chat. Diamonds, how are
you? Good to see you. Good to see you.
I don't know, guys. I'm so happy to see you guys. I'm happier now that I'm with you guys. And that's for sure. It's so I missed you last week. We missed you too, man.
Togetherness.
Joseph, I love your mock neck.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That was the first topic of discussion today. I said he looks like an Icelandic Fortune 500 company owner, or maybe like deals in helicopters or something like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, wilderness scenic tours.
Yeah. Speaking of fits, when you see Diamonds wearing that robe, it's like seeing Tiger Woods on Sunday.
Yeah, the
red.
Sunday red.
It's like no bullshit. It's a Sunday. He's ready to get down to business. He is fully adorned. I mean, you're getting primetime Diamonds right now.
We've been locked in this condominium for the last 36 hours. It has been intense.
I have never seen more college basketball picks flying.
Oh my god!
In my life. He's just a fucking machine, bro.
The page won $100.
Hey. Great. I'd be happy to be up 100 this week.
Ebbs and flows.
Diamonds hit you with some colleges. I swear that I've never heard of, yet alone thought was in D1. And to be honest, those are the picks that I like the most because I think he played the game he knows something that nobody else knows.
To piggyback off of that, it's funny because the Mad Cuban the other day, we're on the telephone and he asked me a question about something and I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, their backup is so-and-so. I said, you know, he still averages about 8.6 points a game. He goes, I said that. I said, well, it's my job to know.
It's your job to know. That's right. That's exactly right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob here. Just solely to remind you that the Brilliant Dumb Show is brought to you by the fine folks over at DraftKings. Super Bowl right around the corner, ready to rock and roll. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DUMB. That's going to be promo code DUMB. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets on the DraftKings Sportsbook today. Again, that's going to be promo code DUMB. You know the drill. Enjoy the Super Bowl and enjoy this little gift here from the fine folks over at DraftKings. We'll see you over there. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Bob loves betting no-name teams and any under on the face of the earth.
Yes.
Loves unders. Loves unders.
Had that Bills Chiefs over, which ended up cashing. It wasn't even worth the hit because I was so stressed out about it. I told you,
it's so bad. If you give Bob an over, even if you're ahead, the whole game he is stressed.
Well, here's something I think bodes well for not an under, but an over today. Now, I put out over Baltimore, Kansas City. I put out over. Nick, I know, has Kansas City plus the points with a stagger bet on Chiefs money line. If that's the play and that's the way the game happens, I don't see a world where the over doesn't hit if the Chiefs are able to win this game like that outright. I like that. I like that for the over.
Bob personally will not be riding that.
No, he won't.
Sure. Look, it'd be the smart thing to do. It would. If they run the ball first play of the game and I got the over, it's a 3-yard run, I'm going to panic.
Ridiculous, man.
I just can't.
So ridiculous. What made you decide to start betting that, Bob? Because I would think that 90% of people actually like cheering for points and scores. And
I like unders. I like a good under as much as anybody, though.
Bob really loves a punt more than anyone I've punts ever seen in my life.
I know that the house, that everybody's on the over, so I just feel like I'm betting with the house.
That's
crazy, Diamond?
That's correct. No.
Yeah,
if you're an over better, man, every night of the week,
yeah, you can't.
You're gonna lose.
Yep, that's right.
You're gonna lose because it's the one or two things that have to go wrong to just completely put you behind the eight ball.
That's the thing about overs. Things have to go right for the over to hit.
Right.
Things just don't have to happen in order for the under to hit. That's exactly right.
Look at what happened two Sundays ago, man, with the Lions and the Rams. There were
We both put out the over that day.
Yeah.
You got 38 first half points and you lost the total.
That was wild.
You know what Mikey did this year, and it hit almost every single time? This year, they put out some of the lowest over-unders I've ever seen. And Mikey taking the under. Like, Mikey, remember that Jets-Patriots game?
Yeah, yeah.
And he kept taking the under, and I just kept tailing the
people,
under.
People wanted to execute me for putting out that Jets-Patriots under. I think it was 28.5, Nick.
Yes.
And I said, you go under. And people are like, how could you do that? How could you Because the overplay is a sucker play in that
game. Yeah, they set that total that way for a reason. They didn't just do it to do it.
That's correct.
They're not in the, they're not in the business of giving money away.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
But you know what? I would give anything to see like an actual line maker in Vegas and just sit there and see how they operate on a day-to-day basis.
By the way, we talked to the CEO and the owners of Prize Picks when we were with Prize Picks, and I was asking them about it. Apparently, it's not as complex as you would think that it would be. They just like, from what they said, they just have a team that goes and puts out, they check the other books and they just put out what they think. I thought it would be a lot more complex.
I would imagine a company like that is doing a lot of piggybacking off of the major books lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The big ones, they got to use algorithms and some kind of shit to figure this
Nick
stuff
could
out.
Tell you, Nick could tell you how that's actually done from the perspective of when that opening line comes out, who handles doing that.
There are only a handful of people in the world that have their finger on that button. You know, it's like the president having the nuclear codes. It's like
you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. Industry, what it's become.
I mean,
How do they find these people?
That's a better question.
Yeah, there's no 500-person panel there, you know.
Mikey, when you signed with DraftKings, didn't Diamonds call you a corporate sellout?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, sure did. Oh yeah,
he sure did.
Yeah, I'm livid with all of you.
We got to make bread somehow, Nicholas.
I mean, the only reason I signed is because I have children. That's the only reason.
Well, by the way, we love DraftKings here. Jesus. By the way, the Brilliant Dumb Show brought to you by DraftKings.
Sure.
Promo code DUMB. That's going to be promo code DUMB on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. But without further ado, let's get into our buy or sell segment. Diamonds, you're aware, I take it by now, of how the buy or sell segment works.
Yeah. I thought about this. I'll tell you. Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay, let's go around the panel a little bit here. Let's let Diamonds digest a little bit. And let's start the buy or sell with Joey D in the $1 billion sweater.
I am selling this week the game that is being played, what we call the NBA these days, because I have never in my life seen worse defense in a basketball game. We have seen within a week and a half or 2 weeks of each other, a guy put up 70 points, Joel Embiid, and now last week, Luka Doncic put up, what, 73 or 74? There's no contesting. There's no hard-nosed defense. Everything is a foul. You touch the guy, it's a foul. What happened to the NBA when, you know, back in the day with the Pistons and these hard-nosed teams where you went up for a layup and you were getting your head clocked off? They have got to figure something out here. And listen, I'm all about these superstars putting up points, but you tell me, Why did we not see players aside from Kobe when he scored 82 or whatever it is? They never used to put up over 50, 60 points. It just didn't happen. And nowadays, it's just like a foreseen thought, these overs. But when we were
How about these guys that score 60 and their team still loses the game?
That's
the insane.
We were in Scottsdale at the DraftKings Sportsbook thing, and there was the game on, was the Suns and the Kings, and the over-under was like 250, and it almost went over. It's like, how are these lines even that? Like, it's unbelievable. And it's just like, I actually do like the NBA a lot, but you just can't sit there and tell me that these guys are playing hard defense, or like, what is even the point of playing defense? Whoever just scores the most points ends up winning. They've got to do something because the product is suffering. And it's just, it's sad, man. It's really sad.
So the Lakers Golden State game yesterday, to your point, the over-under was 244. I've never seen one that big start. And it ended up scoring like 290 points.
Well, it went to double overtime, but it went to double overtime.
It's a
those are like the old, remember the 90s All-Star games would be like in that range.
Yeah.
Remember? That would be.
Yep. I don't know. I think people, they maybe think that people like seeing scoring, but like, it's just not, you watch a college basketball game. And just as an objective standpoint, they're passing the ball, they're distributing, they're setting pick and rolls and screens. And like, they're playing traditional basketball. In the NBA now, it's just an isolation one-on-one. Our superstar's better than yours. This guy's going to jack up 10 through 12 threes. And whoever scores the most 3 points, it's really, the product has gotten away from them. It's pretty sad.
Nicky Diamonds could tell you a lot about the Arkansas Pine Bluff University's defense as well. So, there's nobody who understands that more than Diamonds.
I believe they play in the Southland Conference.
There you go. All right. Good sell, Joey D. I'll take it away. Then we'll do Mikey V and then Diamonds there. My sell may be a little bit controversial. I believe in it wholeheartedly. I am selling the Neapolitan pizza. I just think that
really
compare. Yet there's never a Neapolitan pizza that really excites me. You get to the crust too fast. You always end up with two crusts because the crust hasn't really done great. And it just if you compare a Neapolitan pizza compared to a New York style pizza, it's not even close.
I agree.
It's almost like
Bob, some of the best pizza in the world is in Italy, and it's mostly Neapolitan style. When we went to Florence, that place you had, it was Neapolitan style. It was unbelievable.
Do you know what I thought about when we were there, Joe? Was the pasta and everything else they do, it's light years better than everything we do. If I had that pizza here in LA, it would not blow me away. I think the Italians should pivot and say, we're going to do a New York slice. Oh. And then
you can't tell the person who invented the wheel how to invent a wheel.
I just, even like Portnoy, when Portnoy does those reviews, he always, I think he says his thing is that it caps out, Neapolitan caps out at 7-6. And I agree with it. It doesn't ever blow me away. I just think it's all average.
It's a pizza that's meant, I think, for a diverse amount of toppings that you can mess with how the pizza's constructed, as opposed to a New York style plain pie, which if it's done correctly in the right way, is untouchable, in my opinion.
The only thing I would say to that, though, Mikey, is with the New York pie, you have more room to put everything on.
You do, but I just feel like it just plays better on a smaller pie, because I just feel like when you start adding a ton of stuff on a New York style pie.
You guys hearing that?
Yeah.
That's you, Bob, I think.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's Mr. McGinnis. check.
Hello?
Hello?
It's over now.
It's check, done check. Now, whatever it was.
It's over now, yeah, whatever okay. It was. Okay. But no, I just think when you start adding tons of these toppings on a New York style pie, it just, it creates a problem with undercarriage and support and all of that kind of stuff. So I just feel like the little pies, because you don't want, I just feel like, you know, when you're making that ultimate decision to order your pizza for the night, if you're going to get a New York style pie with toppings, you're committing fully all the way, unless you get two pies and you always have to back up your topped pie with a plain pie because you want that plain slice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other one is kind of just a novelty item. When you do the smaller Neapolitan style, it's not as big of a commitment. It's a smaller commitment overall.
Fair. But we all are we in agreement with the Neapolitan now?
Yeah, I think it's a fair sell. Okay.
Let's head on over. Mikey V, buy or sell.
Yeah, this week I'm going to sell, and I'm going to sell a person. If I never saw him ever again on the internet or on TV, it would be too soon. Mattress Mac. Mattress Mac to me is a guy that he had his little, you know, moment, his little 15 minutes. It was a cute story. He's a Houston Astros backer. He's an older gentleman. So out of respect to the older generations, I don't want to say anything too bad about the guy. He's got a lot of money, but it's just, how long do we have to put up with the, well, what has Mattress Mac got on the game? Well, Mattress Mac put $1 million on the Texans first half. Well, Mattress Mac put $2 million on the Texans to win the, he had Texas to win the national title. He had the Houston Texans to beat the Ravens. It's just, it was great with the Astros because he caught lightning in a bottle, but now it's just becoming, it's embarrassing. I'm tired of Mattress Mac. It's a tired old story. Good for him. I hope he rides into the sunset with his mattress business. Seems like he's doing very well. But in terms of gambling, I'm tired of Mattress Mac. I'm just sick of him.
You know who I'll back that up with? I totally agree with the Mattress Mac thing. A guy that I'm sick of. And if you hear him in podcasts, he's very pompous. I can't stand him. Is the Marlins man.
Oh, the orange Marlins guy?
I can't stand him. I think he's obnoxious. I really do.
It's kind of cool that he could go to that many games.
Oh my God, yeah. Joe. You're in on the Marlins, man?
I'm not saying I'm a fan of his. I'm just saying, Bob, imagine you were sitting behind dugout every game or behind home plate every game game.
You know what's very weird is like you take a guy like Marlins guy. Who sits behind home plate, if people don't know what we're talking about, it's a guy who sits behind home plate in neon orange Marlins gear.
Yeah.
For multiple MLB games, almost everything, behind home plate. But then if you watch College Game Day, there's that family that flies the Washington State flag at every single College Game Day. And you don't find them nearly as annoying or nearly as intrusive on your watching. Do you, Nick? Because I don't. And they're at almost every single College Game Day with the Washington State flag. For some reason, that doesn't bother me nearly as much as Marlins guy does. And I don't know why
they come across so much more blue collar than this arrogant douchebaggery Marlins man.
Yeah.
You know, he just bleeds and oozes out
oozes.
Arrogance, you know? Isn't he a big-time lawyer?
He is, and he'll let you know it.
Yeah.
You've heard him talk before?
Oh, yeah. He thinks it's one thing to do what he does. I'd have no issue with it. But when you hear him talk, he's so pompous. I can't stand him. I just can't stand
him. Just another guy who's never been punched in the face. I mean, it sounds so bad, but you know, I mean, you give him one good one to the snot box and then never have to listen to him again.
That's right.
He's hot. Let's head on over to Nick Diamond's buy or sell.
Guys, it's not even a sell. It's a dump. I mean, how many more you just want to projectile vomit all over the living room floor.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
That was a dump from Nicky Diamond. That's a Diamond's dump.
Wow. That was a Diamond's dump if we've ever seen one. Diamonds, before you go, now I know people are going to be listening to this Tuesday, but just so they can look back and see your two plays for Sunday football today, Championship Sunday.
We're going to gobble up those points, 4.5 with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's very, very simple. It's Patrick Mahomes or it's Lamar Jackson. So until Patrick Mahomes is in a wheelchair, I'm going to pick him every time. And the Niners on a 1-point bye down to 6.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Diamonds, we love you. We appreciate you. Fellas, give a warm round of applause for Nicky Diamonds with a very solid appearance here on the Bill and Liam Show.
Love you, Nick.
Diamonds, we see you next week, big dog.
I bid you adieu.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Nicky Diamonds coming in hot, as he always does. That was absolutely a Diamonds dump. Fellas, I got to be honest. I know some people are going to be upset. I don't know how much of that we can keep in the program. Look, Diamonds is going to Diamonds, but if you hear some clips cut out, if you're upset, I'm sorry. We just can't keep all of that. We just can't keep all of what was said in there, and I'm just going to be upfront about that. Wow. He just texted me. He goes, how was that?
That's a Diamonds dump.
Notice, though, when we were at Mikey's house last time, you know, Dickie Gas comes over. He's playing with Dom. Everybody's down with the kids and whatnot. Joey D gets in there. Diamonds is distant and respectful.
Well, he was also on the clock, quote unquote, on the clock.
He's afraid to he's like, he doesn't want to like mess with the kids or anything like that. Like, he's like one of those who are like, oh, I don't know as well. You know, like, he's going to, like, break the kid if, like, he plays.
It's like walking into a store with, like, antiques in China.
Yeah,
you're better off just not touching anything.
That's why I said respectful yet distant.
I get nervous holding somebody else's kid, for sure. I get a little bit nervous.
Yeah, you've been broken in, though. You're an uncle and all that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll be very interesting to see what makes it and what does not. We got a top five coming in here, fellas. Fellas, we are going to be doing top five athlete busts. Guys that you know, you thought for sure were a no-brainer. We all know what a bust is. I don't have to explain that. Any sport, top five. Joey D, we'll start with you.
Wow. I'm all right. I didn't order these. That's kind of a problem. All right, I'll start at number five. I'll put in a guy from hockey. I like to, you know, I feel like you need to show a little bit of hockey love sometimes in these things, and we never really do. So I'll start at number five with the guy who played on Bob's team for a while and was wildly overrated and wildly overpaid for many, many years, would be goaltender Rick DiPietro. And if you followed hockey for years, you have got to know that this guy literally took this franchise for every dime that they were worth without really giving anything back. I think he had a couple decent seasons. He made the playoffs. I think he made an all-star game.
I think he did make an all-star game, DiPietro.
He did, but honestly, Michael, they were paying this guy out of pocket.
Right.
They paid a 15-year contract, and then he retired, or he had injury issues, and they were paying him for years. This guy took the bank from the New York Islanders. So I'll throw him there at number five. At number four, I'm going to put a guy who was drafted the same year as Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. This guy just never panned out. He just never had the sauce. And to be quite frank, good for him. He had a little bit of a success story. Oh, my. Sorry, I just said something on my headset. I just think that he was just not built for the big leagues. And he had a little bit of success doing that, podcast or whatever. I mean, that ended up almost as short as his career in the NFL. So, you know, guys picking up where he left off. We'll move to number three now.
Just going in and scorched earth on. You would think the Packers drafted him, bro.
No.
Did I say anything that was incorrect or fraudulent?
No, I mean, I didn't see you taking it to the podcast, too.
Listen, the list is top five busts. So once you make the list, you've already busted yourself. Number three, I'm going to go with the guy. This is tough, man. Yeah, no, I'm going to go Greg Oden. This guy, obviously major knee injury, obviously injuries. I don't know if you group that in, but this guy was taken ahead of Kevin Durant, for God's sakes. This guy just was the biggest flop. Poor Portland. They've never really been lucky when it comes to, you know, find a superstar. They had Damian Lillard for a bunch of years, but that never ended up, aside from winning them a couple playoff rounds. This guy was supposed to be the guy, and he was the bust.
And number two, I'm going to put one that a lot of people will think is controversial. But I think if you think of the magnitude of how good a player he was coming out of college to what he actually did in the NFL, I think that it makes sense. And I'm going to throw Tim Tebow in there. I think Tim Tebow was a massive bust.
No, a massive.
What did Tim Tebow do in the NFL?
His grade, his
first round. He was arguably one of the best college football players.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. So was Eric Crouch won a Heisman. He was never touted as a big time prospect for the NFL like Tebow. Everyone knew his throwing motion was dog shit. There was no way he was going to. I don't know. I mean, you were good up until. I can't buy Tebow. I can't. Good until Tebow.
Tebow was arguably the best quarterback ever.
He was.
And then you look to see what he did in the NFL. He won one playoff game. Demarius Thomas did all the work. Mike, he caught a slant pass and he ran it to the house.
And it was the ugliest throw you've ever seen.
It was a horrific throw.
So his motion was just so junky. It was just junkie. It was
so there were people questioning if he should even be a first rounder. I find it hard for a guy to be that big of a bust if you have to question if he's a first rounder or not.
He's certainly a top five most polarizing athlete probably in the last 20-30 years.
100%. Definitely. He's the best college football player I've ever seen.
That's what I'm saying. You look at that and then you look at the translation of how bad he was in the NFL, and it's just, to me, that's a grossly, I don't know, maybe you're looking at it just based on where he was drafted. I'm looking at the caliber of the player and what he was able to provide in the big leagues, which was short of nothing. And then number one, this one is a no-brainer. Jamarcus Russell. Yeah. What an absolute plug.
That's right.
What an absolute plug, crumb bum this guy was coming out. The Raiders thought they had a gold mine, and it turned out they had a lump of coal is what they had. There's no gold to be found in that fucking.
Joey D is going at these guys, man.
Bro, they made millions of dollars, and they did nothing.
Better hope we don't run into Jamarcus Russell at the Waste Management. He's gonna.
Oh, I don't think Jamarcus Russell's anywhere you need to be worried about.
By the way, I hope I don't run into the Marlins, man.
Yeah, Bob's got a better chance running into Marlins, man, than we do. And he's a lawyer. He might sue your ass. You might find a fucking lawsuit at your door.
I think he would kick the shit out of me. I think he's got like
the fuck out of here, Bob.
Anybody who wears a visor is either a bitch or is a tough-nosed guy you don't want to mess around
with. Mikey V can be a big visor guy, by the way. And I'm not calling you a bitch. I'm calling you a guy that you don't
want to. I'm just saying it's one or the other. You go out wearing a visor, you better be able to back it up. And Mikey V can back it up. I'm just saying, there's some guys out there who don't.
You know who can't? Let's just keep burying people this episode. Nick Sirianni. Can't back it up.
Who sports a visor well? The Jerry Don.
Sure does.
He wears that tailor-made visor. Jerry Don's a big visor guy.
Mikey, any issues with the list? Is it just
no? I mean, thing? I got three of the same guys in that list. The only issue, obviously, I don't agree with the Tebow play, but other than that, I thought it was a good list. Very good.
You know what I wanted to ask? I'll go next, and then Mikey, you could close us down. Could you, even though we won a Super Bowl, could you consider, he's not on my list, but could you consider Reggie Bush a bust?
No.
From based off,
he won a Super Bowl, Bob. He was polarizing in that.
No, I wouldn't call him a bust. I wouldn't call him a bust. I'd call him an underachiever, though. I think he was meant. I think people thought he was going to do bigger things in the league, but I he can't be a bust.
He had some touchdown runs that were unbelievable.
Yeah, no, he had a fine career. He had a fine career. He didn't have the kind of career that you thought he may have had as electric as he was. In college, you know, so yeah, but I wouldn't call him a bust.
Fair enough. Just throwing that out there. All right, I'll give it a go. I have two that Joe had in there. Number five, give me Vince Young. From what Vince Young was in college, I just think everybody thought he was going to be the real deal and just flat out did not pan out. Number four, Darko Milicic.
Oh my God.
When you consider, not only was he such a bust, when you consider that draft class that he was in, Carmelo Anthony, I think Dwayne Wade was in that.
Oh my God.
All of the people that came after him, to me, it just even heightens him being a bust. So give me that at number four. Number three, and I don't really remember him growing up. It's a little before my time, but when you watch the 30 for 30, maybe one of the most dominant college football players just from I've seen even just highlights. Give me Brian Bosworth, who, I mean, this guy looked like he was going to be just a no. What happened to him again, Mikey? Didn't he get hurt or didn't something happen to him?
He got run over at the goal line by Bo Jackson, and that was the last you saw. tremendous college quarterback, college linebacker. But I think Boz's problem was kind of like Tony Mandarich, who was famously drafted by the Packers. He was regarded as the top offensive lineman prospect that's ever been seen. I think he was just like one of these juice head guys in college who just really kind of was stronger and bigger and faster than everyone else and then got into the league. And it was kind of like, okay, you're going to have a little bit of a problem here. Vernon Golston from Ohio State, very similar that the Jets drafted. Just a guy who could bench press like 600 pounds in college, but in the pros technique and these guys are just so much better that it doesn't work out.
Yeah. I had Brian Bosworth there at three. And then number two, I have Greg Oden. I'm with Joey D there. The guy was so, so dominant. It was Greg Oden and then Kevin Durant, I think, was drafted right after. So dominant in college. There's a clip of this old lady walking around Ohio State campus. I saw it on TikTok. It's one of the saddest things I've ever seen, and they play, like, sad music behind it. She goes and she asks Greg Oden if he's a basketball player, if he plays basketball, and they play the sad music, and they go through his highlights, and he just looks so defeated. It's so sad. It's one of the saddest clips I've ever seen. I feel bad for him. Especially the guys that get hurt. Like, it's not even like they just didn't pan out. Like, the guys who just couldn't stay healthy are the guys that I really feel bad for. So I got Greg Oden two. Number one, no question. You give me Jamarcus Russell at number one. Looked like he was a no-brainer. Flat out did not pan out. Mikey V, we'll send it over to you.
All right. Number five, I got a baseball guy. The only baseball guy on my list, and it's a Yankee, Brian Taylor. If people don't remember Brian Taylor, he was the first overall pick in the Yankees' 1991 draft. He was considered by many to be the greatest high school baseball pitcher of all time. Triple-digit mile-an-hour fastball in high school. Struck out 213 of 264 batters faced in high school. Only walked 28 guys in high school. Came up to the big leagues, single-A, double-A. He did well. And then in the offseason, he got in a fight defending his brother, destroyed everything in his shoulder. The next season when he came back to single A, he was 0-5 as a starter and 18.73 ERA and walked 43 batters in 16 innings. He was the number one. They paid him $1.55 million, which back in 91 was unheard of for a high school guy, first overall pick in a baseball draft. Brian Taylor, my only baseball guy in there.
Even as a Yankee fan, I've never heard of
Brian Taylor. Yeah, Bob, you said you are looking like you had no clue who was talking about.
I had no idea.
Brian Taylor, your dad definitely knows. Sure. Tap your dad on that one. Kwame Brown, number four. Kwame Brown, number one overall pick in 2001. And you're talking about a guy that went over Tyson Chandler, Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, Gilbert Arenas. And Kwame Brown averaged his career 6 points a game, 1.3 turnovers a game, 57% free throw shooter. Kwame Brown, just taken by the Wizards, Michael Jordan. He just never, ever lived up to the insane amount of hype that was surrounding him coming out. I remember they were talking about him being like the next Michael Jordan. And it just,
man, if he played in today's NBA, he'd be averaging 20 points a game.
Maybe he would. Three, yeah. I'm with you guys. Now, three, we got some repeats. Three, I have Greg Oden, same spot as Joe had him. Infamous mostly for a dick pic that he sent out, more than anything other than that.
Dick pic either.
Yeah, big dick pic guy. Big dick pic.
Really?
By the way, it's a frightening-looking thing. Frightening. Looks like a baseball bat between his legs. I mean, just frightening. Frightening stuff. Oden, though, I feel bad because he had so many injuries. Like, his body just completely – when he was at Ohio State, I thought he was, like, 50 years old. First of all, he looked like he was like 50 years old when he played with Mike Conley on that team that went to the national championship game, lost to Florida. But Greg Oden, three. Ryan Leaf, number two. His rookie year, 2 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Right out of the gate, it was him or Peyton Manning. Him or Peyton Manning, 1998 draft. People were actually saying that the Colts were nuts, that they should have picked Leaf over Peyton Manning.
Oh my
Obviously,
God.
We all know how that panned out. Leaf was a total bust. And then number one, it's got to be Jamarcus Russell. First overall pick, 2007 draft. A guy that they thought was going to be, you know, a guy that was famous for, you know, throwing the ball 60 yards in the air while he's on his knees. But, you know, the whole thing from that movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner, they sent him tapes to watch. And he claimed that he watched blitz packages on the tapes, and the tapes that the Raiders sent him were blank tapes. There was nothing on the tapes. Just a guy who just didn't fucking prepare at all and didn't give a shit. Jamarcus Russell, number one.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of the Manziel thing. When they talked about the Manziel thing of him.
Oh, that was sick.
My God. Awesome.
0 minutes on the iPad.
All right. Honorable mention, Joey D. We'll head over to you.
I think Kwame Brown was a good pick. I'll add that to my honorable mention. Just a bust in the NBA.
I'm in on Kwame Brown as well, and I think Mikey V's got a real strong list.
I'll do Tony Mandarich as my honorable.
By the way, how the hell did Mikey winning last week with a farce top five? You know, this has got to be addressed at some point. It's like
you cannot just put out
a bullshit top five.
You want to know why?
The voices come vote for me, and all these and
I didn't say voiceless come vote for me. That's number one. Number two, want the cold hard facts of why? Because it was a dog shit top five. That's why.
Well,
that's why
should answer for a list.
Well, that was it was a troll job. It was a well-executed troll job. You had no idea that I was giving fake airlines from movies. You had no idea. So we'll just that's it. I wasn't even going to bring it up. You brought it up. I wasn't going to bring it up.
I had no business winning. That is it's a sad, dark day in brilliantly dumb, you know, history when these voiceless are coming in and just
I say it's a great day.
No, it's not. It's a bad day.
Okay.
It's a sad day. It's a bad day because, you know, it's supposed to be some honor in these lists, you know, I'm not even taking away from the fact that you trolled it. I think that was comical. I enjoy that. But for that list, which had no bearing or no reference to what the top five was actually there, for people to be dumb enough to go say, that's my top five. Put their hand up, a little hand up accountability, and be like, maybe that's I'm a little terrible. Biased here that's in terrible. My answer. It's like putting somebody who shouldn't belong in a presidential candidate and just voting for them because it's a popularity contest. That's what it's about. Not saying, hey, maybe I should see myself. Does this seem to me like the best list of all three? I don't know. Normally, Mikey, your lists are tremendous. I'm just saying that was a dark, sad day in Brilliant Dumb history. And you know what? I'm probably going to get blasted by these people. Bring it on. I don't give a shit.
Wow.
Jesus, Joe.
Wow. Joey, D with
them. In that sweater?
I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just saying, like we prepare for these things, and there's, like, a certain level of merit in putting out a good top five.
We normally talk about the top five an hour before the show starts.
And as soon as it's talked about, I'm start researching.
Okay. Well, anyway, my honorable mention was Tony Mandarich, was the offensive tackle taken by the Packers. You know, it was another good one, Robert Gallery. You remember Robert Gallery, Joe?
Do you remember Robert Gallery?
Bob
played for the Lions.
No, he got drafted by the Raiders. Remember, he was like an Iowa offensive tackle. Mandarich, and he got moved to guard. He was actually fine when he was guard. But they thought he was going to be like the next, like, Jonathan Ogden at left tackle.
I'll take
Mandarich, though.
Do you know who that is, Joe?
Not Mandarich. I know Gallery.
The Packers. That was the Packers.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, fellas, real strong episode there of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. We'll be back at it next week. Clap it up for a really good episode there, fellas. Clap it up for
love
a
you boys.
Strong episode.
Enjoy your championship Sunday.
Enjoy your championship Sunday.
Let's go Ravens.
Like, comment, subscribe to the show. Let's keep the ball rolling. Fellas, I love you. I appreciate you. We'll see you next time. It's been another edition of the Brilliantly Dumb Show.